There's nothing quite like the feeling of getting lost in a good book, is there? What were the most memorable ones you read as a child? I think my all-time favourite was The Secret Garden. What about yours? You can let us know on Facebook. When it comes to novels for young people nowadays, though, well, they have a lot of competition. Social media, video games, funny animal videos on YouTube, they're all compelling distractions. And recent research in the UK has found that more time on social media can have a knock-on effect, a deleterious effect, on children's literacy rates. The researchers tracked 11,000 kids who were born in 2000, so they're 18 now. They found that as teenagers, very few of them, just 10%, would choose to spend their spare time reading a book. Margaret Merger is Senior Lecturer in Education at Curtin University in Perth. Margaret, nice to have you with us. Hi.
Thanks, Amanda.
Now, on the face of it, this research sounds bad, but couldn't you argue that being on social media is still reading? I mean, it's not like this generation of kids aren't reading at all.
Well, unfortunately, the research that has looked at the comparable literacy benefit of reading novels and also comparing it to reading websites and social media areas has found that the benefit is not equal. So unfortunately, we can't say that just spending time browsing on the internet is equivalent of the time we spend sitting and reading a book.
Any sense of why that is?
Well, there are a lot of factors that could be at play. When you look at the kind of vocabulary that's used on social media and compare it to perhaps a more sustained work such as a novel, obviously the complexity of the language that we're engaging with is usually at a high level. But we also know that when we read on screens, the research that we have suggests that the depth of cognitive engagement is not equal to what we're experiencing when we're reading a book.
So, Margaret, what do you know about Australian kids' interest in reading then as they get older? Is it dropping? Does it drop as they get older?
Unfortunately, yeah. There is definitely a decline over time that's noted actually from quite an early age. And one of the interesting things when you look at it is it's not just the children that actually show a decreased interest in spending their time reading, but they're also receiving less encouragement both at school and at home to continue the practice as they move through the years. So it's not really that much of a surprise that then we wind up with a situation where many young people don't understand that it's still important for them to continue to read in order to keep developing their literacy skills.
Well, let's talk about at home, especially once children are older, once they're beyond, you know, being read the bedtime story. What role can parents play in keeping older kids interested in books and in reading?
Well, it's interesting because I'm in Western Australia and here we've got a Never Stop Reading initiative that is being rolled out to encourage parents to keep reading to their children much longer than you might typically think.
So all right, until when? I mean, how long should parents read to their kids? Until what age?
As long as possible. So what was interesting about recent research that we've done, myself and Dr. Sadia Matroni, we found that it's been cut off at that around about the period of skill acquisition. So once children have learnt to read, parents have thought to themselves, oh, thank goodness, we've done that.
Yeah, don't have to do that anymore. They can read themselves. Yeah,
exactly, because we're so busy, you know, and you think you've done the job. But unfortunately, children spoke with quite a lot of regret when that happened in many cases because it was still really appreciated, not just for that one-to-one time with parents that you get to share that, you know, journey together in a book, but also because young people actually also talked about a sense of losing the advantage that they had in exposure to how to pronounce complex words, exposure to broader vocabulary and things like that.
Well, you've actually asked children themselves, upper primary school kids, how they rate the importance of reading. What did they tell you?
Well, it's really interesting because even our reluctant readers, so say readers that are only reading, you know, very, very rarely, don't necessarily dislike reading. So, the attitude towards reading as being a socially acceptable pastime is actually quite high. And I think that, you know, relates in many cases to things like book and film collaborations around things like Hunger Games and Harry Potter and things like that. So it's not necessarily something that children, you know, see as an unattractive thing to do. But there are so many other compounding issues. For example, as you mentioned at the beginning, we've got that competing demand of the, you know, the social networking. And what actually happens is, you know, the more we are operating on that level and, you know, playing games that give us that dopamine reward when we have an achievement, we're building our brain structures to kind of operate at that level. So when we go to apply cognitive, sustained cognitive attention to a task such as reading, it's actually harder to get into it. So it has this kind of mutually reinforcing issue. So while children don't necessarily, you know, dislike reading books, it's really hard for it to compete with, you know, perhaps more socially appealing pastimes, but also it's harder for them to get into that reading experience if they haven't already, you know, built that capacity for cognitive stamina.
What about also modelling, seeing their parents reading books?
That's actually a big one. And speaking to children in upper primary and also teenagers, it's really interesting when they talk about their parents reading and their parents' expectations for their reading, how many students turned around and said, well, you know, mum expects me to read, but I don't see her pick up a book. So there is that kind of notion of hypocrisy. And what's really interesting is I know that for myself as a parent, a lot of the reading I do is actually when my children are asleep. Because
yes,
you pick up a book once
the kids have gone to bed. That's the only time you get to do it.
Exactly. But the only kind of downside of that is that the children don't necessarily see you modelling that engaged reading practice. Mm. So they don't necessarily see your, you know, enjoyment of it. They don't necessarily see the investment of time you put into it. So it's really important that our children see us read, but also that we engage them in discussion around books, show an interest in their evolving interests over time. So just as perhaps when you were, you know, 4 years old, you might have really been into reading about horses. I'm sure your current genre preferences aren't necessarily reflective of what you were into at that age. So, you know, children's tastes and interests change over time. So we need to keep that dialogue open with them so that we can keep helping to match them with books that meet their current interests.
Is there, Margaret, any significant difference for children in the benefits between reading fiction and non-fiction books?
Well, this is some really interesting research has been coming out, particularly of Canada in recent times, looking at this thing called theory of mind. And basically that looks at how reading of fiction does more than just build our literacy skills. It can also build our capacity for empathy and in particular the idea of perspective taking. So that ability to kind of live through other people's lives and, you know, as you've mentioned, you're a reader yourself, so you would have gone through that experience of reading a book and, you know, riding on the dragon alongside the character or perhaps even being the protagonist. You live that experience. And what's really interesting about this research is it's found that people who read fiction on a regular basis have that capacity for empathy and the consideration of the feelings and experiences of others more well developed.
What about comic books?
Well, the research that we have suggests that the literacy benefit of reading comic books and graphic novels is not equal at this stage to the reading of books. However, we do know that there are other sorts of benefits that can be experienced from reading different text types. So, for example, benefits around, you know, visual literacies and things like that. But when we're looking at the, you know, vocabulary development, reading comprehension building and things like that, the strongest benefits still rest with traditional book reading.
You're listening to Life Matters and a discussion about how and why to get kids to love reading novels in this age of digital distraction when they'd rather be on their social media feeds. And love to know what you read as a child too. What was your favourite book? I said earlier mine was The Secret Garden, Frances Hodgson Burnett. I think I loved it because it was about secrets and sadness and finding friends. What about you? How about loving Dr. Seuss or Roald Dahl books or Lewis Carroll? Whatever, let us know on Facebook. Along with Margaret Merger at Curtin University, let's now meet Holly Godfrey. Holly is a teacher librarian at a high school in Canberra. Before that, she taught in primary schools. She's also a member of the Australian Education Union. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Amanda.
How have you got young people off the social media and engaged in reading books and enjoying them, Holly? What sort of things work in the school library?
Well, my main strategy is actually that I just try to ooze enthusiasm. So I read really widely myself. I keep up to date with all the latest releases in especially Australian literature, of which there's a fantastic variety. And so therefore, when I'm speaking with students and also with teachers who are looking for literature to bring into their classroom, I just have all these ideas at my fingertips. I read it also as a person myself so that I can have that sort of emotional experience of what it means to engage with that book. And then that way, when I speak about it with others, I have a genuine, sincere enthusiasm about it.
And how would you say the role of the school library and school librarian has changed in this age of digital diversions?
Well, it's a really significant factor, actually, how it's changed. And I think that it's also would be something that would have contributed to that decline in reading for, especially as children get older, is that that corresponds with a decline in qualified staff working in school libraries. I would definitely make the connection between those two. What we know now is that 89% of school libraries in Australia are understaffed, according to what the recommended staffing levels are. And this can't help but have an impact on students' reading engagement.
Yes, and you're working on an advocacy program for school libraries at the moment?
Yeah, that's correct. We are about to launch next month a campaign called Students Need School Libraries, because many people in this country are not aware of the situation with school library staffing being so poor in most school libraries, and of the fact that school libraries are more vital now than ever before because of the digital world that we live in.
Well, along those lines, we've got this comment that's come in from a teacher librarian at a Catholic school in Queensland who says, "I have significant concerns about how a school library can be run without a teacher librarian. Schools need good quality literature for the children to read, and the children often need help finding a book that's a good fit for them." Personally, this email goes on to say, "I've read a huge number of children's books in all genres and have become quite expert at identifying areas of the collection that need improving and at knowing what book would interest individual children, especially reluctant readers. Without a specialist in this area, some reluctant readers will be turned off reading. Reading needs to be a pleasurable experience for children to continue to want to read. The impact of removing teacher librarians from the library will be felt in the future, unfortunately, and it saddens me to see this happen." Well, thank you for that email. And Margaret Merger at Curtin University, another one of your research areas, I think, is the role of teacher librarians. Anything you want to add to that?
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree more with what Holly's saying and also what that reader's pointed out. What teacher librarians do is really quite unique. I guess there's a bit of an assumption that parents and English teachers pick up the slack around fostering reading engagement with young people as they move through the years of school. But the reality is parents are really, really busy and English teachers have a massive curriculum to wade through. And it's the teacher librarians who are often uniquely positioned to make that incredible connection where they find out the students' interests and match them with the book that will help them to read going forward. And they take the time, they have that level of expertise where they understand all of the variables that are built into finding that match around current skill level of students, around genre preferences. They really have very sophisticated skills when it comes to supporting that particular skill in young people. So when I look at the declining number of teacher librarians, I'm really worried. Previous research has found that even where schools have libraries, children have less access to these libraries during class time as they move through the years of schooling in primary school. And so, you know, on one hand, we're trying to communicate to children that reading for pleasure remains important. But on the other hand, we're limiting their access not just to the school libraries where they can change books and get new books, but also to those teacher librarians.
Well, coming in on the text line, I'll just mention that Lynn has texted to say, "My fave book as a young child was Enid Blyton's The Faraway Tree. It enabled me to lie there at night and joyfully imagine unlimited, amazing lands at the top of the tree." And another texter writes, "A Wrinkle in Time. and then all of Tolkien's work, The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Holly, look, I've got no doubt that there are still lots of terrific books being written for children and teenagers. And there's a whole generation now in their 20s who grew up reading the Harry Potter books because they were so compelling. Can really appealing books still overcome the pulling power of social media?
Absolutely. There's something about literature and a story and the fact that it explores the human condition that it just fills a really important need, possibly even more so in this day and age. I know a lot of times now teenagers will come and they'll say, I want a book that will make me cry. You know, they want to experience the full range of human feelings and in a safe way that a book can provide.
Well, Margaret Merger, at school reading is actually often linked to tests and performances, isn't it? Like NAPLAN. So does that mean that kids are not linking reading to pleasure?
That's absolutely what we've recently found. In recent research where we asked the children in years 4 and year 6 about whether or not they saw their teachers as readers. So these are primary school teachers, and we see primary school teachers as reading educators. And so many of those children were not able to say that their current teacher was someone who was a keen reader because there was this persistent focus on testing. And when I, you know, talked to them about reading and their teachers' attitudes towards reading, they just kept saying, well, we know it's important because it's something that we're tested on. But when I, you know, brought around the topic of pleasure, they were really, you know, not sure at all. But what was interesting about those children is almost all of them were able to talk about a teacher who did exhibit pleasure and enjoyment and modelling of reading. So that's, you know, something that's really concerning, that children are really strongly beginning to just associate the reading that we do with something that needs to be measured, and they're not having that opportunity to really see reading as something that can therefore compete in terms of pleasure with things like social media and the like.
Well, we've just got another message from on the text line from Kirsten, who says, I'm a passionate reader and had the great good fortune to have a mother who read to us right through our teenage years. I read aloud to my 11-year-old son and my husband, which they both love. In years gone by, reading aloud amongst adults was common. It's a shame it's no longer in vogue. Thank you for that. And also thanks to our two guests. Margaret Merger is from the School of Education at Curtin University in Perth, and Holly Godfrey is a teacher librarian at a public senior secondary school in South Canberra. Many thanks to you both for sharing your experience and expertise with us.
Thank you, Amanda.
This is Life Matters.